So I don't hate the Kenneth Grant pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think he's going to be good, then...
Yeah. I think if you think he's going to be good, and I think he can be really, really good, you take him. So I don't have a huge problem with that. There's some issues with, like, positional value, X, Y, Z, who else was on the board, and I totally... So I'm not like, oh, I would have taken it, but, like, I understand it. Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is May 6, 2025. A lot to talk about. There's actually too much to talk about. So we're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're only going to do the AFC team. We want to go through every team. Next week, we'll do every NFC team. But that's what we're going to talk about. It's been hard to kind of get scheduled. Last week, both Matt and I were busy. Matt's a busy guy.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's been a little while, but still, you know, it's given us time to, I think, go over it and think about what happened and see what we like and what we don't like. So,
yeah, and we might talk about some other stuff: NBA playoffs, Champions League. The NFL draft. There's so much to go through, though. So that'll be the main focus. Again, my favorite sporting event of the entire year. Let's get into the ick of the week, though, before we get ahead of ourselves here, Matt.
Let's do it.
Last week, Zick, I guess last episode, Zick, handlebar mustache, which I was kind of on board with.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Zick, driving out of a parking lot and can't figure out how to pay. Which I can also kind of get on board with.
I mean, some of that just feels like too specific to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I don't know. It feels like we're spreading the definition of ick too far. I mean, I guess it can be whatever you want, but it seems like that's a thing that's, like, that's annoying, or, the worst it could be is, like, this is a sign that you're not a competent person, which I don't categorize under ick, personally.
Well, for some girls, that would be the definition of ick, is the guy not being a common person.
But there has to be a different thing, like a red flag and an ick have to be different.
Well, I think an ick, here's the thing, we're not saying this is a logical list.
Sure.
We're not saying these turnoffs from girls are logical.
Sure.
But I think they can make it whatever they want. Like, I think anything can kind of be just... really an excuse just to not to be into the person anymore. The Indiana, I think it was 119-110. Halliburton just hit a shot with 1 second left to go up by one. Why would he pass it with a second left? Who is that dude for Cleveland?
That is Sam Merrill. Shout out to the Aggies. Oh,
Sam. Bountiful Brave as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of an ick, passing when you're down a second from half court. That could be an ick. I think it's more of a lot of these they have in common, like the bowling thing where you extend your leg too far. Like if girls just kind of see something where you're like not like in control or quote masculine, which everyone has a different definition of that. I think that's kind of the underlying theme here. If we've learned anything along this fun journey,
I guess it's just, I don't know. I just feel like categories have to meet, like, you know, like that hot dog is a sandwich thing. And like people are like, oh, but a hot dog, it's meat and it's between two pieces of bread. That's the literal definition of a sandwich, therefore it's a definition. But we all know that that's not what a sandwich is. Well, right? That's what I feel about this parking lot thing.
I actually heard someone end that argument. They said, and if I knew who this was, I just saw him scrolling on Instagram. A hot dog is not a sandwich because if you take a hot dog out of the bun, it is still a hot dog.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
It's a logical argument. It's a very etymological argument.
It is. I feel like it only goes, but then what do you do? Like, someone else would just say, fine, what about a bratwurst?
I'd say not a sandwich for the same reason.
Yeah.
But like a turkey sub is obviously a sandwich, or a BLT is obviously a sandwich.
Right.
Because bacon, lettuce, tomato in and of themselves obviously aren't a sandwich, but BLT together, that is the name of a sandwich.
Yeah.
I think it's a dumb argument and dumb conversation. I think the gorilla thing is also a stupid. Have you?
Yes. Well, that one.
The gorilla would win.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
100.
A gorilla?
100.
A gorilla.
100 is so many, though.
They'd have to. A gorilla, Matt. I can't believe you're on the people side.
Okay, here's the thing. 30 to 50 of them will die. But if we're assuming that they're willing to die, 100 can do
but
it.
But what damage, like punching a gorilla isn't going to do any damage.
Well, no, but they can, if they punch it enough times, or if you get like one person obviously can't hold down a gorilla's arm, but 10 can.
I don't think 10 can.
I think they could.
You think a gorilla?
Well, it also, well, there's also the thing like, are these 10 like... like normal dudes, are these 10 people that are like, I'm assuming a baseline, but not not professional athletes. I know that's not
fair. Yeah, I'm assuming athletic males.
Yeah.
But like, I know just, I could not, all me and 10 of me could not hold down a gorilla.
Well, no, but you would just need one arm, and then there's another 10 on another arm and another.
But those 10 people have to grab the arm.
Well, yeah. Five to ten of them are going to die trying, but eventually they're going to get it.
No, I think that's literally more insane than the Rudy Gobert thing. I think that's the craziest thing you've ever... You think the gorilla would lose? That's literally the craziest thing you've ever said.
Do you know how many people 100 is?
Do you know how strong a gorilla is?
We could not fit 100 people in our living room.
We couldn't fit a gorilla in the living room.
What?
Barely, like... A gorilla is so big, and it's so strong, and it's so fast, and it's so mean.
Yeah. Well, they're not all mean.
Well, I think if they're threatened, they're all pretty mean.
Sure. I think in general, they're sort of friendly animals.
Yeah, but this is a fight situation.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I cannot believe that.
100 people, Jake.
That... Like, we need to go to the zoo. I need to remind you what a gorilla looks like.
I know how big a gorilla is.
I don't think you do. You're saying 100 of us?
Yeah.
Could beat a gorilla.
100? It's not like a bear.
No, I think a gorilla is worse than a bear.
Were you in the San Diego Zoo when we saw the grizzly bears?
No, I got there after that.
One grizzly bear head... that's as big as like maybe 3 gorilla heads.
Okay, I'll clarify. I would go grizzly bear, gorilla, black bears.
Sure. Yeah, I would put black bear underneath gorilla.
I saw a picture of a polar bear. It looked like it was about 18 feet tall, like standing up on his back legs.
Yeah, polar bear would be above gorilla.
You're disrespecting gorillas still, I think. Because they're like, they can move. Obviously, polar bears and grizzly bears are, like, mean and bigger and stronger. But you could, like, if there's 100 people, they could, like, get on the back of it and, like, surround it. I don't think you could do that to a gorilla. I think it's too quick.
But,
and, like, the...
No, Jake, obviously a bear with its claws would be harder.
No, I think because, like, it can't move around like a gorilla can.
It's at least 3 times as big as a gorilla.
I'm not saying humans could beat a bear. I'm just saying if I was in one of those things, I'd rather face the bear than the gorilla is all I'm saying.
That's incorrect.
No, man.
That's just wrong.
We're going to stop watching the Warriors game. I'm going to pull up gorilla highlights. There's honestly, like, of things I'd least like to be in a cage with, gorilla's probably number one. Like, because if I'm in a cage with a crocodile, I think I could dodge that. I don't want to be in water with a crocodile, obviously.
Yeah.
Crocodile might be number one in its natural habitat, but like just a cage, sure. Gorilla's last place.
No, I would in any environment, maybe even in water, would rather go against a crocodile than a gorilla. What about, like,
even in water where you can't see the crocodile?
I guess, I mean,
you're giving to, we're assuming the gorilla's pissed.
Yeah, but like, it, 100 is just so many people.
What about one on one though? You versus, because you're gonna die with any of these animals.
Sure,
but like, the crocodile in the water, you're kind of just waiting to die. But the gorilla, I would just be so scared.
I guess I feel like, and I know, like, the crocodile hunter, he wouldn't go just get his swimming trunks on and wait in a lake for a crocodile to attack him. I feel like, but like, there's a chance. Like the crocodile hunter would not go and, like, I'm going to go wrestle this gorilla in any circumstance.
How did, I actually must not have watched the crocodile hunter that much. How did he get off the crocodile?
Well, once you close its mouth, you can just put like a rubber band, and then it's, because its muscles are so tight, which is why it can snap so hard. But you really don't need that much pressure around the mouth.
Was that what he would do, is like jump on it and then close its mouth?
Yeah.
What if there were other crocodiles in the water?
I don't know. I don't know enough about crocodiles or alligators to know if they hunt together or differently. Or
I think the most insane living situation I've ever seen in my life. This isn't a living situation necessarily, but more of just a cultural difference. And again, we've lived in South America. We've been to Europe. Like, we've traveled more than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
In Louisiana, there were houseboats on the swamp where there were just hundreds of gators. And the houseboats had slides into the water.
Yes, yeah, I remember the slides.
That, to me, you couldn't, there's not enough money you could pay me to go off the slide.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not into that.
That was, it was so insane. But they must just do it. Or, like, people in Florida just water ski.
Yeah.
Insane. It's insane to me.
Maybe they feel like the gators are going to get scared off by the boats.
I
don't know. Yeah, that doesn't seem like enough for me.
Like, when we were in Florida with our little sister at that dude's house and everyone had, like, the jet ski and stuff, we didn't go out because of the rainstorm or the whatever.
Yeah,
like, I was like, I am not getting on a jet ski
right
in this state.
Well, but a jet ski, you're a... I mean, I wouldn't sit on the jet ski for 10 minutes, but...
They can jump up out of the water.
I don't think they can swim faster than a jet ski, though.
They could, like, time it, though.
I don't know about that.
You don't think if there's a jet ski coming, they could, like... I saw a crocodile video of a crocodiles in Thailand playing dead and, like, flipping on their stomach, so humans would think they're dead and they'd attack. I think crocodiles could figure it out, or gators could figure it out.
I think they could, but I think that there's easier things for them to eat.
That's true.
And I think they would go for that.
How did the comet not kill alligators? They killed the rest of the dinosaurs.
I don't know. Maybe they were small enough that they could, because there's something about, like, some animals, like, are cold-blooded enough that they can even, like, I think there are frogs that can literally just freeze in the ice and be okay, which I realize that's not what alligators would have done, but maybe they're small enough that they could have figured out how to survive the cold or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're about 15 minutes into this. Should we talk about football?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we have a few ways we can go about this. We can just go team by team. We can go division by division. We don't have to talk about every team. Let's talk about some big ones.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk about any team you want. I don't know that I can talk about every team, but...
Well, do you want to go by alphabetical order or by division then?
Let's go by division, and then we can just hit the ones or the ones that are we think are most interesting, and obviously that's...
I'm probably going to mention every team.
Yeah.
Let's start with the AFC North. Just, I randomly selected that.
Okay.
So, Baltimore Ravens. We're not going to name every pick. I'll do my favorite pick. If you have any thoughts, you can do that. Kind of my overall thoughts.
Yeah.
They drafted Malachi Stark, safety from Georgia, round one, and then round two, at pick 59, Mike Green, edge from Marshall. I would have been happy if San Francisco 49ers drafted Mike Green at number 11. I would have been fine if the Carolina Panthers had drafted Mike Green at 8.
Yeah, does feel like he fell a lot. I know there were some domestic abuse accusations around him.
Yeah.
So you have to think that's why he fell.
Yeah, he never got charged. So he had an allegation coming out of high school, again, not charged. So Virginia, where his first school had a no tolerance policy. So it's like, if anything, there's even like a whisper, you're out. So there's another allegation at Virginia. They kicked him off the team, transferred to Marshall. That's kind of all the information I have, is there allegations, no charges on it.
Yep.
Football-wise, what a steal, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like he wasn't going to fall farther than the second round, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, talent-wise, and again, Malachi Starks, the Ravens gave up so many explosive plays last year, so getting another safety with Kyle Hamilton, I love, and still getting an edge rusher. Emory Jones, he was an offensive tackle at LSU. I think he's going to be really good. One noticeable pick, Matt, in the sixth round, they picked kicker Tyler Loop from Arizona. And then this week they released Justin Tucker. Is that his name?
That's his name.
Speaking of off-field allegations, he kind of is in a Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah, crazy.
And he also just sucked last year.
Yeah, crazy that it would end this way for a kicker. And obviously he had a bad year. You have to think that, you know, knowing that report was coming potentially had something to do with that.
There was one point where Tucker was like, is this the best kicker in NFL history? And I think this bad last season doesn't necessarily take away from that, but he was legitimately not good last year. Yeah. So it was just kind of crazy to see that drop off.
Right.
Cincinnati Bengals. I didn't love their draft. I didn't like Shamar Stewart. And the reason why is, like, if he's this freak athlete, all these things, why is he not finishing plays? He only had, I think, 4.5 sacks last year, or maybe even the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of pressures. Now, I know if we look at the big picture, pressures are more indicative of stats and sacks than sacks are themselves. Pressures are more consistent and more reliable as far as a predictive number.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Shamar Stewart play specifically, he's just literally, he comes in too hot. He's not able to finish. Like, he's a freak athlete. He's not a football player necessarily. And that worries me. And again, Mike Green was clearly available. He was available for both of the Bengals picks. So I didn't love that.
Yeah.
But whatever. I like Barrett Carter, the fourth round pick from Miami, linebacker.
Yeah. This is a weird, not too important football wise, but I think they traded away their seventh round pick, but they didn't bring in any additional picks and they didn't trade away any of the other picks, which is just kind of.
Wait, so they just gave up a pick? What do you mean?
Well, I'm sure they got something else for that seventh round pick, but they had the 17th pick in round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like not even comp picks.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Which is just like an anomaly.
Maybe they got like a future pick or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know they're notoriously like I would see mock drafts, and we can talk about because some teams broke the mold, but the Bengals are. There's some teams where you're like, I know exactly what you're gonna do, and the Bengals, what they're gonna do is they're gonna draft someone from a big school, Texas A&M. I was like, is that a big enough school for them? Because you just like we went through the list. It's like Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, and I was like, I don't know if Oregon's big enough. I thought they might take Derek Harmon and went to Pittsburgh. But I guess Texas A&M is big enough. But they take big school players, especially the first round, and they don't trade up or down. They just kind of stay pat.
Yeah.
They're literally the laziest, cheapest organization.
Right.
If it's worst version of Dallas. Like, every problem that Dallas has, the Bengals do. And Dallas actually does things better than Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns. I honestly, when we were prepping this, I was like, oh, I forgot that I'm kind of over the Shador thing. I guess we'll touch on it a little bit. I think everybody's kind of over it.
Yeah, it's like he's going to be good or he's not.
He was a borderline just on the field. I thought he was a really good player. I thought he was a borderline first round player because he doesn't have elite athleticism. And then past the second round, you're just drafting backups, you know? Yeah. So it was whatever. I'm fine. Past the third round, I was like, any team should be taking him. And if any team would have taken him, I would have been fine. The Browns specifically, I think Kevin Stefanski's offense is a great fit for him. But they traded back off Travis Hunter to get Mason Graham. So they're hypothetically going in on the 26th draft, which should have Drew Aller, Kate Klubnik, Lenora Sellers. Arch Manning's probably staying in school. well, we're guessing that just because that's what the Mannings have historically done. Anyway, big hypothetical draft class in 2026. John Mateer, name to keep an eye on, Oklahoma, Washington State transfer. When they drafted two quarterbacks, they have five quarterbacks in the room right now.
Right, yeah. It's like you're absolutely going to have to cut one of them. Like you can't use like the 53 spots are just too valuable. I don't know. You use them all.
Like what was the point? I honestly think the owner, Jimmy Haslam, was like draft Shedeur Sanders. Because I think – I can't imagine Andrew Berry was like, let's take Dylan Gabriel in the third round and then also get Dylan Sanders.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like it's just, yeah, you just have so many holes that you've got to take a shot.
They also drafted two running backs, Quishon Judkins and then Dylan Sampson from Tennessee in the fourth round. Both good players, but like your roster's not in a situation where you should spend multiple picks on running backs.
Right.
I think the offensive line still needs help. Mason Graham's a really good player, but I literally any position I would have been like, yeah, I think that makes sense. I think they can upgrade there.
Yes, their first two picks were defense and all the rest were offense.
I would like to see him get another receiver or and another offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Instead of two running backs and two quarterbacks. Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers. I love Derek Harmon. Again, I mentioned Cincinnati taking him. I would have been fine with him going at 13 to Miami, who also drafted a defensive tackle. I just thought it was fine. Like Caleb Johnson, there's good things about running back from Iowa. Jack Sawyer in the second round, I'm not in on, but the fourth round, sign me up. Edge from Ohio State. He had that strip sack against Texas in the semifinals. Will Howard, again, I'm not a huge fan, but in the sixth round, sign me up. So I thought it was fine. There's nothing where I was like I have a major complaint, a major queja, as our amigos in Chile would say.
Yeah, I mean, well, it kind of like is, if you don't think Shedeur Sanders is ready to play this year, then there's none of the other quarterbacks are going to be able to play this year. So I guess don't pick one. You're going to be really bad. Because even if you do get Aaron Rodgers, like he's going to be bad. So I don't know why they didn't hang on to Russell Wilson for another year.
Yeah.
If they didn't think they could get Sanders or somebody else to play.
And they still haven't signed Aaron Rodgers as of yet.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
If I were them. Like,
I don't get the point of it. But they're a team that's always been like picking from like 17 to 23. And, like, all the good quarterbacks are going to be gone. They haven't really made the move. The last trade I remember them making, so this isn't official. It's still weird that Alex Rodriguez owns the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's weird. The last trade I remember them making the first round, they went up from, like, about pick 20 to pick 10 to draft a linebacker, and I'm blanking on his name. So I apologize to that linebacker. It was Devin Bush, or Devin Bush was the other linebacker. There were two Devins who were linebackers. Anyway, they're going to have to either not break their 500 streak or make a big trade to get a quarterback at some point. Unless Will Howard hits. Okay. But that was fine. Let's go to the AFC East. So that would be Buffalo Bills would be the first team there. Some things I liked, some things I didn't like. I liked TJ Sanders, their second-round pick, defensive tackle, and defensive tackle from South Carolina, and Deion Walker, their fourth-round pick, another defensive tackle. He's from Kentucky. First-round pick, Maxwell Hairston, cornerback from Kentucky. Was Forbes' first name, the Washington cornerback? Was it Brian Forbes?
I don't know.
So the Forbes kid was like 160 pounds. I don't think that's a apples-to-apples comparison, but I think they have a similar play style-ish. I think Maxwell's best plays, he's like jumping the ball. He's super fast. He ran a really good 40, really good athlete. Will Johnson was still on the board. Buffalo plays a lot of zone coverage, and that's where Will Johnson is best. I know there's injury issues, but I just have a problem taking Hairston when Will Johnson's on the board. So that's my biggest problem for me with the Buffalo Bills draft pick.
I think that makes sense. I think that's fair.
All right. So let's go Miami Dolphins, and then we'll go Jets and Patriots or vice versa. A lot of people are hating on the first two picks, so let's talk about those. So Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan, and then guard Jordan Savainea from Arizona. He's a guard. So Michigan coach. This is like fourth party information. Is that a thing, English professor? I'm just trying to say it's like I obviously am not talking with Jesse Minter and Jim Harbaugh about Kenneth Grant.
Right.
So it's like they told somebody who put it out in the media that I'm hearing from this. So that being said, they Michigan coaches said that Kenneth Grant's upside and potential is as good or better than Mason Graham, who everyone raved about as this really great skilled defensive tackle. So I don't hate the Kenneth Grant pick.
Yeah. I mean, if you think he's going to be good, then
yeah. I think if you think he's going to be good, and I think he can be really, really good. You take him. So I don't have a huge problem with that. There's some issues as like positional value, X, Y, Z, who else was on the board. And I totally, so I'm not like, oh, I would have taken it, but like, I understand it. Jordan Savainaina, again, sorry if I mispronounced his name. Good player. Rumor was that I think New England wanted him, or maybe Chicago. There were a couple teams that wanted him, so Miami traded up to get him. That's fine. The problem is their next pick was in the fifth round, and this isn't a team that's good. This isn't a team that has a good roster. Their secondary is depleted. The offensive line needs multiple positions. I think their edge players are always injured, so you can't count on them. It's not a team where you can be giving up picks to get starters to go get one starter. So that was my problem. Even if I like the two players, and then again, they didn't trade up for Kenneth Grant, but
yeah,
I understand the critics. I like the players in a vacuum, but not a huge fan of the approach.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Like, I mean, statistically, we see the teams that trade back tend to do better. So
yeah,
not having a third or a fourth round pick is not ideal.
So yeah, it's so stupid. So that was frustrating for me. The Giants just gave up a run. So they're only up one in the ninth inning. And that's, it's killing me. New England Patriots, love the draft. Biggest critics of it, Will Campbell, very narrow wingspan, very narrow shoulders, very narrow, short arms. So just you can tell when he's on, like, in his pads. It's like, oh, he's just kind of a narrower guy as far as a build perspective.
Yeah.
But he's, as the kids say, a football guy. You're watching the draft with me.
Uh-huh.
So you remember when the reporter asked him, like, what are you going to do to protect Drake May or whatever? And he's like, I'm going to die for him. Uh-huh. Like, I think that's exactly the kind of guy Mike Vrabel wants.
With a very Cajun accent, right?
That was him. Sounds so much like he's from Louisiana. He's the best. And yeah, he just talks so slow. It's great. Travion Henderson, by far the best running back in pass pro. Plus, he's super explosive. Kyle Williams gets open super quick. Jared Wilson's the most athletic center, probably the best center in the class. So those first four picks are like, okay, we're going to protect Drake May, get him some quick options, get him some explosive help. Drake May, dynasty owner, so I'm all in on that. And I like their other picks too. Josh Farmer, defensive tackle, Braden Swinson. I understand why he fell, but I still like the pick there. Big, big fan of the Patriots draft for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Will Campbell despite the frame concerns, which I get. I think worst case, you're getting a really good football player who really, really cares, which is important.
Yeah, good to have those in the locker room.
Yeah. The Jets, J-E-T-S. So my favorite player, not the best player, my favorite player, the one the last few years I'm watching every LSU game, well, any game, but like he played for LSU, and I'm like, oh, this guy stands out. My eyes are always on this guy. It's like when we went to the Cardinal Seahawks game, it's like my eyes are just on Patrick Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Taylor, the tight end they drafted in the second round. I think he is just, he's not going to be Rob Gronkowski or anything. I'm not saying like fantasy wise, that's not like the best move ever. But he's just a really good player. I think he does everything well. I think he understands the game. There's little subtle things he does. I think he's a good blocker. He's athletic. He's a nuanced route runner. So I love Mason Taylor. He was my favorite player in the entire draft. So I like that pick. And then Thomas, the cornerback from Florida State, he only fell to third round because he's a 4.58 first round on field player, probably late first, but still. So I like the Jets' first two picks. No major complaints from the Jets there.
That's nice.
I still think they need some help, but I think from where they're at, they're fine. I think it's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going kind of quick, right? Which is good.
Yeah, but I think it's a good pace.
Let's go AFC South. So the first team there is Houston, and then Indianapolis and Jacksonville. And I don't remember the fourth team, but we'll figure that out. But Houston, they receiver, offensive tackle, receiver. They completely uprooted their offensive line room. Sounded like there was some character issues in there. So they got him. They got C.J. Stroud some more immediate help because Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell got hurt last year. So I don't think it solves everything, but I understand the approach. I wouldn't have given up a third-round pick to draft Woody Marks, their running back, but the first three picks, I like Ursary a lot. The two Iowa State receivers I'm not, like, crazy about, but I understand what they're doing. I think it makes sense.
Yeah. That's an interesting coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of them is, like, this huge, like, big X-type receiver. The other one's, like a Tank Dell-type receiver.
Yeah.
And the other one is comparisons to Nico Collins, ironically.
That's funny.
So,
yeah. It does seem like, yeah, they did get rid of a lot of offensive line, so it is weird they didn't maybe bring in more. But
yeah, that's something I would have done. Like, I think the offensive line as it is like, oh, it's fine. But there's not anywhere where it's like, oh, you can't upgrade here. But I guess they're going with fine. I think that's better than maybe forcing something. I think they really wanted Tyler Booker, who Dallas drafted. I didn't think he'd go that early. He was off the board. Cleveland or Houston's one that traded back with New York for Jackson Dart. So I think they did pretty well for all things considered.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts, Tyler Warren, tight end, JT Tuimoloau, edge rusher from Ohio State. I'm a big fan of. DJ Giddens is a fun little back. I really like Riley Leonard. I think he might be the best quarterback in the room. Just because I've never liked Daniel Jones, and Anthony Richards seems like Indianapolis is telling us he can't figure it out.
Yeah, just not putting it together.
Giants just gave another run, so tied 5-5 in the ninth. This is so annoying. Tyler Warren's fun. I don't know if he has a quarterback to take advantage of him, but he's a fun player. So I don't hate the pick. What are your thoughts on like drafting a tight end versus like Walter Nolan went two picks later, defensive tackle or an edge player? Like obviously Mike Green was still on the board, Shamar Stewart was still on the board, John A. Barron was still on the board. Tyler Warren's maybe a better player, but I don't know if anyone can take advantage of him.
Well, it's kind
of
like I do think it's similar to the running back thing, partly because, like, if you know your tight end is going to be Travis Kelce or you know that you're getting Sam Laporta, then it's like, yeah, I'm totally happy to spend the 14th pick on them, right?
Yeah.
But there's probably six tight ends in the NFL that would be worth the 14th pick. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just off the top of my head without out.
Yeah, that might even be a little high.
Yeah. Right? So, and like Tyler Warren, he might be that good. But like people do seem to be high on him. But like if he's not that good, I think you're right. I think there's probably a position that would be more valid that they would use more even if it's not quite as good of a player.
I do trust Shane Steichen with him more because Tyler Warren is someone you do – it's not like you have to scheme for him. It's like you want to scheme for him, though, to get him open and get him creative and get him running with the ball, give him ball of space. So I think in that sense, Indianapolis is a good landing spot compared to some other places. It's just quarterback play isn't ideal. But yeah. Next team, my phone froze. Oh, Jacksonville Jaguars. So that trade, we only hinted on that when we talked about Cleveland. Kind of the Shador effect, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot. So you're saying Travis Hunter is going to be better than Mason Graham and, I don't know, like some Clemson. Clemson has like four linemen who are going to be in the draft. Or like Spencer Fano, right tackle from Utah. Or if you need a quarterback, which Jacksonville doesn't, but like just all the, or Jeremiah Love, running back from Notre Dame, all these players in the draft next year, Travis Hunter has to be better than him and Mason Graham. All right, Tennessee Titans. Biggest thing was obviously Cam Ward. Least talked about, number one pick. We were actually talking like off air. What quarterback career, knowing you're going to get it, would you take at number one? I kind of said anything above like Alex Smith, like Kansas City Alex Smith.
Yeah.
I think Cam Ward's going to be above that. I've heard, and again, not play style, but I've heard people, a couple people saying I like this. Like, oh, it could be about a Kyler Murray. Again, not play style. I'm fine with that. It's not obviously the best case scenario, and I would love to trade and get some more picks, but I think if you get Kyler Murray's career, a healthy Kyler Murray, you're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, if you're Tennessee, you can work with that. I mean, they, you know, built pretty good teams around Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. So, yeah, they did. I mean, at one point, Tennessee was the number one seed. They went to the AFC Championship. They beat Tom Brady's last game in New England.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Tennessee will be fine. I think Cam Ward's going to have an up and down rookie year, but I think long term he's going to be fine, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I still think Bill Callahan's a good coach. I'm holding on to that belief still, for better or for worse. Should we go to Denver Broncos?
Yeah,
I feel bad. Titans don't get talked about at all, but it's just kind of you know. In a good way, it's I think.
Yeah, I mean, because they're not awful. It's just they're not good enough to be very interesting.
Yeah. Now the Broncos, they took Jahdae Barron. I thought they were going to take Omarion Hampton, who went two picks later to the Chargers, which we'll talk about. I don't think that was the biggest need, but I also love having just that nasty secondary with Pat Surtain, who's the best corner of the league, Riley Moss. I still think they need to get more pressure, like from the edge, instead of blitzing to create pressure, which they did a lot of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Jahdae Barron, and I would have been fine with him going as high as like 7. So getting him at 20 is fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything else was just kind of fine, I think.
Yeah, nothing.
Didn't love RJ Harvey, but it's whatever.
Yeah, if you're gonna get a running back, then you know at least they got Jahdae before.
Speaking of running back. Genty, I think, is overrated. Like, he's not better than Saquon coming out. He's not better than McCaffrey. He's not better than Bijan Robinson coming out of college. Like, he's still a good player, but he's not program changing or not culture changing. And they still have a lot of problems, especially in the secondary, right side of the offensive line. So I just disagreed with that pick completely.
Yeah, no, to take advantage of a running back, you need a – They have a fine offensive line, but you'd like a better one if they're spending a pick that high.
They could have got Jahdae Barron. They could have got Armon Membu, Kellen Banks, Jalen Walker, Mike Hill, all these players instead of a running back. And then get Devin Neal in the 6th round where New Orleans got him.
Right.
So, I don't know. I didn't like it. I did like their 6th round picks, Cam Miller and Tommy Mellott from North Dakota State and Montana State, respectively. Quarterbacks played against each other in the FCS championship. Mellott's probably going to switch to receiver. I really liked Cam Miller. He's probably a backup, but I really liked watching him play. So those were actually my two favorite picks were 6th rounders there. We skipped Kansas City on accident. So that was my impulse.
Weird. That's probably the only time that's ever happened.
Yeah. I think it's fine. Like Josh Simmons, if he's healthy, he's going to be really good. Their next pick was a defensive tackle, which, you know, that was a position of need for them. It's not even good in like Tennessee. It's just kind of you know what I mean? Like, I love Jeffrey Bosa, a 5th rounder from Oregon, Utah kid. So shout out to Jeffrey. But again, he's a 5th round linebacker. So it's not like any, it's not going to have a major impact of any impact.
Sure. Not right away, for sure.
Yeah. He can play, like, he's a good athlete and he'll contribute. But like, if Josh Simmons is healthy, I think it's good. Otherwise, I think it's just kind of you know, like, I don't really care about it.
Yeah, no, it's kind of – well, it's hard to have, like, really good picks. I feel like somebody else in front of you needs to screw up, and maybe they were just in a position where that didn't happen too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they kind of just – yeah. Now, they did trade the Eagles, which we'll talk about that the NFC episode more with Judd Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they – other than, again, if Josh Simmons is healthy, that's a big thing. But even then, that's a rookie tackle. I don't think they got much better for 2025.
Yeah.
Last team we'll talk about tonight, Los Angeles Chargers. They did get Omarion Hampton. I didn't love the fourth round edge rusher. They got a defensive tackle in the third round. I thought Trey Harris, their second round receiver from Ole Miss, is just like another, again, not a play style, just kind of production type comp, but like Josh Palmer is like, yeah, he's an NFL receiver. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
And again, maybe he blows up. Maybe he's great. Omarion Hampton's a really good athlete. I don't love taking a running back there, but I think Harbaugh just really, really wants to run the ball, so wanted a guy there.
Right, yeah, and if that's what you're trying to do, then you do got to get a running back at some point. I think, well, what would have been good for them is I do wonder if, because the Eagles basically had a trade set up with the Chargers, and then the Chargers, either the Chargers backed out or the paperwork didn't get filed correctly. Maybe the Chargers didn't file the paperwork correctly on purpose. But the Eagles were trying to get up to get Jahad Campbell, which relates to what you said about Kansas City. I wonder if they thought Omarion Hampton was going to be taken by Denver, and then he wasn't, so they decided to stay, which I think we both think it would have been smarter for them to do that trade, and then you get another fourth to second round pick. I don't know exactly what Howie would have given up.
Not what the Falcons gave up.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't have given up another first round pick.
No, and again, we'll talk about the NFC. I think the NFC is going to be more exciting. That's where kind of a lot of the trades were.
Yeah,
but I thought the Chargers draft was fine. I think Hampton's a really good player. Running back's just kind of a tough position there. But I do like Kyle Kennard, that fourth round edge rusher. I like Mickens, the safety from Clemson in the sixth round. So I think Baltimore, obviously, we started off probably at least the first two picks, obviously, with Mike Green, unique circumstance. But I think those were the two best picks.
Yeah.
Out of any, like, first two teams. So let's do a quick top five, and then I'll let you go to bed. Matt, are you ready?
I'm set.
So we're watching the NBA playoffs, obviously, right now.
Yeah.
Top five teams that have played in the most game sevens.
The most game sevens. This feels... I mean, it feels like at a certain point, it has to be the teams that have been in the playoffs the most would have had the most opportunities. So let's say the Lakers.
They're number two.
Let's say the Celtics.
They're number one. That was smart logic.
Yeah. Let's say... I don't know if the Heat have had enough earlier success to justify them saying it, but it does seem like a Heat thing.
They're number seven, so you're close.
Okay. Who else will have had lots and lots of... Because really, after the Lakers and Celtics, as far as like...
There's a drop off.
Yeah, sure. There's a big drop off. Yeah. Let's say the Warriors.
They're number nine.
Okay.
Now you're still right, but it's not. Like, I'll give you a hint. The Spurs aren't on the list, and I think that's probably a team you would guess.
Yes. Yeah. That.
So it's
that
not just straight. But that was right for the first couple of picks, obviously.
Yeah.
But it still has that idea. Just not. It's not 100% correlation.
Not 100% for sure. What about the Sixers?
They're number three.
There you go. How about the let's stick in the Eastern Conference, the Knicks?
They're number four.
Hey. I don't want to say the Bulls just because I don't know that. Like, I think Michael Jordan did not play a whole lot of Game 7s, at least not in the finals he didn't.
No finals in Game 7, or no Game 7 in the finals, you're right.
Right, so I know he had some against the Pacers and probably some other teams. How about the Pistons?
Pistons are not in the top five, they're 17. But they're close, because they have 10, and the fifth team has 14, so.
Okay. So it does feel a little bit like a crapshoot.
Yeah, it is an Eastern Conference team, I'll tell you that.
It is an Eastern.
And you have one more official strike.
Okay. How about, let's say we've said the Sixers, we've said the Knicks. So we've got teams like, these aren't guesses, I'm just going to say teams, but we have Milwaukee, it could be the Magic. We've already said the Heat. All their teams are over there. The Wizards. Not a bad. You know, let's say Milwaukee.
is Milwaukee's 8 with 12. So again, they're only two off. Heaton, or they're tied with Miami and the Warriors for that matter.
Is it Cleveland?
It's not Cleveland. They're down at 20 with 8. Again, so the Celtics have 37, Lakers have 24, and then it's a drop off 18, 16, 14, 13, 12, 12, 12, 11, 11, 10. So,
yeah.
It's Hawks.
Yeah, I would have never guessed
Hawks. I know, that's kind of a tough one. It's kind of a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Top five. Next week, we'll do the NFC. Appreciate everybody listening. Hope you have a great week.